ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्री कृष्ण भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 वर्स नंबर 6 We'll read verse number 7 also because it's very connected.
Parijana-anuraga-virachita
How it's written there? Actually it's a prose, it's not a verse. It's a just spoken way of verse. Okay, I'll read according to how it's on the board.
परिजनानुराग विचरित सबला
संशब्द शरीर शीत
किसलय
तुलसी का दुर्वाण कुरय अपि समृत्य सपर्याय पीला परिजनानुराग विचरित सबला संशब्द शरीर शीत किशलय तुलसी का दुर्वाणी कुरय अपि समृतया सपर्याय किल परम परिपुष्यसि
समृताय समृताय
परिपुष्यसि You can't sing this, it's not Polish. You can't sing this. It's a prose, basically, you speak it. Okay. Parijana, by your servants, Anurag, in great ecstasy, Virachita, executed, Shabala, with a faltering voice, Samsatta, with prayer, Salila, water, Sita Kishalaya, twigs bearing new leaves, Tulasika, Tulasi leaves, Durva Anukurai, and with newly grown grass.
Api
also.
Samritaya
performed.
Sapraya
by worship. Kila
indeed.
Parama O Supreme Lord.
O Supreme Lord.
Paridushyasi.
You
become satisfied.
You become satisfied.
Translation. O Supreme Lord, you are full in every respect. You are certainly very satisfied. When your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices and in ecstasy bring you tulsi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves and newly grown grass, this surely makes you satisfied. I'll read the translation for next verse as well. They're very connected. We have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifice unto you, but we think that there is no need for so many arrangements to please your lordship. You can repeat the first translation. O Supreme Lord,
O Supreme Lord,
you are full in every respect.
You are full in every respect.
You are certainly very satisfied.
You are certainly very satisfied.
When your devotees offer you prayers,
when your devotees offer you prayers
with faltering voices,
with faltering voices,
and in ecstasy,
and in ecstasy,
bring you tulsi leaves,
bring you tulsi leaves,
water,
water,
twigs bearing new leaves,
twigs bearing new leaves,
and newly grown grass,
and newly grown grass.
This surely makes you satisfied.
This surely makes you satisfied.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One does not need great wealth, education or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is fully absorbed in love and ecstasy, he need offer only a flower and a little water. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushram Phalam Toyam Yomibhakta Parachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita 9.26. The Supreme Lord can be pleased only by devotional service. Therefore, it is said here that the Lord is surely satisfied by devotion and nothing else. Quoting from Gautamiya Tantra, the Hari Bhakti Vilas states, Tulasi Dala Matrena, Dalasya Chulukena Va Vikranite Swam Atmanam Bhakte Vyo Bhakta Vatsalaha. Shri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a palmful of water. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotee, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water and a flower in devotion and thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealing with his devotees. Next verse, translation again I read. We have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifices unto you, but we think that there is no need for so many arrangements to please the Lordship. There is a small purport to that. Srila Prabhupada says, Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one is offered varied foods but has no appetite, the offering has no value. In a big sacrificial ceremony, there may be many things accumulated to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if there is no devotion, attachment or love for the Lord, the arrangement is useless. The Lord is complete in Himself and He does not need anything from us. However, if we offer Him a little water, a flower and a tulsi leaf, He will accept them. Bhakti, devotional service, is the main way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. It is not a question of arranging huge sacrifices. The priests were regretful, thinking that they were not on the path of devotional service and their sacrifice was not pleasing to the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Militam Jnatasmai Shri Guru Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayamrupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dena Mantu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskate Rapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutele Pranamahe Hari Kriye Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamane. Namaste Saraswati Deva, Gauravani Pracharine, Hare Vishesha Shunyavadi, Parshati Deshitari. The Supreme Lord has appeared in front of the priests who were doing the sacrifice on behalf of King Nabi. And when the Lord appeared, the priest and the king, they are regretting why, what was the need for such an elaborate sacrifice to be done, where it's very easy to please you just by simple offering as long as there is pure devotion involved in it. And we will see in further verses also similar point is stressed more, especially the next, which is verse number 8. So very important aspect, and that's where when we see for the verse number 6, Prabhupada's purport, the way he opens the purport, he very specifically mentions two points in the beginning of the purport. And then I'll just read how it begins so we can talk about it. He says, one does not need great wealth, education or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what do we need? Is if one is fully absorbed in love and ecstasy, then he need only offer a little flower and little water. One flower and little water.
So Prabhupada makes two points very specific, that our elaborate offering cannot cause the Supreme Lord to reciprocate in terms of in the way He reciprocates to His pure devotees. But what causes Him to reciprocate is pure devotion. So basically, too much of importance when it's given to the externals, that leads to many other issues. One is a devotee or a practitioner or a sadhaka or a priest or yajman who is making the whole arrangement of yajna have to happen can feel a lot of pride that he's been able to do such a great sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord, and such a vast offering is done. You know, on big festivals, if we have the main cook for that day and we offer 50, 60, 100 items, and all the photos are everywhere on Facebook, and then huge offering is done. And if while doing that, the mindset is, oh, I've done such a great offering to the Supreme Lord and He must be pleased. He may not be pleased. He may not be pleased. He may be pleased by the devotee who did fruit offering before us, because there's a lot of devotion while doing that fruit offering. So, very important point. And Prabhupada is emphasizing both the purports. If you see, Prabhupada mentioned specifically two points, that the Lord reciprocates to the devotion offered behind those objects. And if when little is offered, He is happy. But specifically in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is quoting from Gautamiya Tantra, a verse glorifying the importance of just offering tulsi leaves and water to the Supreme Lord. And this is the exact same verse which came to Advaita Acharya's mind when he was really disturbed seeing the situation in the world, and he was very genuinely feeling that there must be some solution to preach and change the heart of the maniac people of Kali Yuga. And he was very honestly praying within his heart and planning what to do, how to bring the Lord down, how to bring the Supreme Lord to come and appear and perform His Leela. And we see this pastime in Adi Leela chapter 3, where very nice the thread of verses are there. I'll just say a few of those which shows the mindset of Advaita Acharya and what made him choose to offer tulsi leaves and water. So this is from Adi Leela chapter 3, from text 99 I'm reading. It says, Apane Shri Krishna Yadi Karana Avatar, Apane Achari Bhakti Karana Prachar. Advaita Acharya is thinking, if Shri Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, He Himself could preach devotion by His personal example. This is much before Lord Chaitanya even appeared and did this leela. But Advaita Acharya is actually planning in his head what Shri Krishna should do. Nama vinu kali kale dharma nahi aar, kali kale kaishahave Krishna avatar. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. But how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? And he is thinking to himself. Now Advaita Acharya thinks, I have to do something about it. And he says, Shuddha bhave karive krishnera aradhan, nirantar sadhi sadayane karive nivedan. Now I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition Him in humbleness. And then he quotes, then this verse comes to his mind, this exact verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is in Gautamiya Tantra. He says, Tulsi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikranite samatmanam bhakte vyo bhakta vatsalaha. He says, Shri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards His devotees, sells Himself to a devotee who offers Him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. Very powerful word. He chose this verse as a process to be followed to call the Supreme Lord down. Because he says, the Supreme Lord will sell Himself to a devotee who is just offering tulsi leaf and some water. Next, after that, ei shlokartha acharya karna vicharan krishna ke tulasi jale deye jan taranana sodite krishna karna chintan jalatul sirana sama kichu ghare nahi dan. Advaita acharya considered the meaning of this verse in this way. Not finding any way to repay the debt Krishna owes to one who offers him tulsi leaf and water. Now Lord Krishna will think, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to tulsi leaf and water. This is Advaita Acharya thinking. Amazing actually. Tabe atma vechi kare nirna sodhan ettabhavi acharya karena aradhan. Thus the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. This is what the Acharya is thinking. And considering in this way, the Acharya began worshipping the Lord. So this was the exact theme, mindset which Advaita Acharya had, that this is very quick, easy and most effective way to call the Supreme Lord Nam, which is just offering tulsi leaf and some water. But behind that, if we read the verses, he is doing with pure devotion and in a humble state of mind. I was hearing the other day, Srila Prabhupada was giving a nice point. Actually, some other devotee was quoting Srila Prabhupada and he was mentioning that two qualities attract Supreme Lord a lot. That is simplicity and the other is humility. I badly lack both of them, but very interesting qualities to meditate upon. That if one is simple at heart and one is humble, that these two qualities mixed with devotion is such a recipe that it will attract the Supreme Lord to taste it. It is going to attract the Supreme Lord to come in and accept it and reciprocate. And this is what we see in many great devotees' lives. But before we go to these amazing pastimes of the stories of great devotees, how just by their simplicity and their humility they have attracted, without great offerings, they have attracted the Supreme Lord to come and personally interfere in their life. I just wanted to read something from Padma Puran, which is direct glorification by Lord Shiva about Tulsi Devi. Because this verse is talking about the potency of Tulsi Maharani. And Lord Shiva tells, so this is a conversation between Lord Shiva and his son Kartikeya. And so Kartikeya comes and asks, he says, my dear father, which tree or plant is capable of giving love of God? To him Lord Shiva replies, my dear son, of all the trees and plants, Tulsi Devi is the topmost. She is all auspicious, the fulfiller of all desires, completely pure and most dear to Lord Krishna and the topmost devotee. Then he says, long ago Lord Krishna, for the welfare of all conditioned souls, brought Vrinda Devi in her form of a plant, Tulsi, and planted her in the material world. Tulsi is the essence of all devotional activities, and without Tulsi leaves, Lord Krishna does not like to accept flowers, foodstuffs, sandalwood paste. In fact, anything without Tulsi leaf is not looked upon by Lord Krishna. And then what he says is very interesting, what Lord Shiva tells to his son Kartikeya. He says, one who worships Tulsi Devi regularly has already satisfied his guru, the Brahmins, the demigods and all the holy places. And he says, one who offers a Tulsi Devi to Lord Krishna becomes a Vaishnava very quickly. What is the need of understanding all the scriptures for one who has offered the wood or leaves of Tulsi Devi to Lord Krishna? And he makes a very strong statement. He says, for such a person, he will never have to taste the milk from the breast of a mother again, and he will never take birth again. If just someone offers Tulsi Devi to the Lord. And later he says, and that's why I wanted to, at least to some part, glorify Tulsi Devi, because he says, if someone glorifies Tulsi Devi, if someone is glorifying Tulsi Devi, it's very natural, very easy for that devotee to attract attention of Krishna leaders. So that's our little incentive to do that. That we may attract Krishna's attention. And I was just going through Srila Prabhupada's letter to his communication with his disciples about Tulsi Devi. And Prabhupada was so encouraging in so many different occasions. And when he heard a report of a temple who was successfully able to take care of Tulsi plants, and Tulsi plant didn't die and it survived, Prabhupada said, "I always wanted temples to be able to do this, but I am very happy that you were the one who was able to make Tulsi live for practically survive. Because of the weather, many temples cannot do, and I am very pleased with this effort." And Prabhupada only started this system where he encouraged devotees to sit around Tulsi Devi and chant. That's what you do in the temple. It's not just a random thing that we pick up the plant and bring in between and we chant because Tulsi Aarti has just happened and we sort of bother removing the plant. After the Aarti has happened, so let's keep the plant in between and we chant around. No, it is very specifically mentioned, but Srila Prabhupada instructed it that devotees in the morning should chant around Tulsi Devi. So many glorifications, there's unlimited glorifications are there. If someone chants Krishna's names in the shadow of Tulsi Devi, the benefit is immense. It's just unimaginable how much austerities can be just result of so many austerities, yagyas, tapasya, donation, this, that is discovered just by sitting in the shadow of Vrindadevi, Tulsi Devi. So, very powerful. But now coming to the other aspect of the purport, verse number 6 and 7, how Srila Prabhupada is and that verse itself is glorifying that one doesn't need to do elaborate offerings or one doesn't need to do great feats to attract the mercy of the Lord. Actually, a couple of days back, I was speaking to one devotee. One devotee came and he was a bit concerned, and his concern was that, "Oh, my child is growing up now and I can already feel the pressure. My wife can also feel the pressure, my child also feels the pressure, and I also feel the pressure that now, like all other kids, I will have to push my child to memorize all the shlokas, attend all these classes and this instrument class and this and that, and if the child is not a scholar and memorize many shlokas, then the child may feel left out or may be looked down upon." I told the devotee, "I think you're overthinking." But he said, "No, Prabhu, you don't know. That is there in the air." And then when I read these verses, I honestly want to pass on these verses to the Prabhu that very, very specifically, Advaitacharya is also saying, even this verse itself says, and Prabhupada begins his statement that one doesn't need great wealth, education, and opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. And at least this pressure should not be on the parents, because we have such a vast option, huge variety of ways to serve and engage our children in serving Krishna. And just mugging up verses and parroting them may not be the only best way for them to become a devotee. And in many cases, kids don't even turn out to be devotees who are so-called big scholars of verse memorization. If someone has aptitude, if someone has capacity, and if they have liking, why not go for it? But if that becomes the standard of a devotee kid, then I think that is a big problem. And many parents have experienced it, that we cannot standardize verse memorization to be a good devotee. And we see so many examples. We see so many examples in scriptures of both sides of scholars, great scholars who have attracted the mercy and attention of the Supreme Lord, and very simple-hearted devotees who may be illiterate, who are in some cases uncivilized, and they have equally attracted the mercy of the Lord because their learning and education was never a criterion to attract the mercy of the Lord. And when I was thinking about some examples, how practically with nothing, the Supreme Lord was bound to such devotees and constantly assisting and helping them. Example of that when Pandavas, that's a very classic example. We all have heard that story of Akshapatra, how when they were sent for exile, Suryadev gave them Akshapatra, which was a utensil which would supply unending meals as long as Draupadi has not eaten from that for the day. And they can feed as many people as possible from that utensil. And Duryodhan, with his all cunning plans, asked Durvasamuni to go with his 10,000 disciples and go for lunch on a particular time when he knows Draupadi must have eaten by now. And this is the time when Durvasa will not be fed, he will feel insulted, and he will curse the Pandava brothers. And that's exactly what happens. Durvasa goes with his 10,000 disciples, Yudhishthira welcomes him, and then there is nothing to feed them. Why? Because Draupadi is already eaten. So Yudhishthira Maharaj sends them. It's a known, very known pastime, but amazing teachings in that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj sends them off to take bath, and he's so worried. And Draupadi, with her natural devotion, with her natural, like her own Raghava Bhakti, which is very spontaneously falling at Krishna's feet and remembering Krishna, this, at the exact way what she did when she was getting disrobed, she just calls out to Krishna. Now they are in the forest somewhere, and Krishna is in Dwarka with Rukmini. And suddenly Rukmini sees Krishna in Dwarka running. And she, before she even questions Krishna, where are you running? Krishna teaches Draupadi where she is in the forest, in their exile. And Krishna asks, you called for me, everything okay? And Draupadi explains the whole thing. And Krishna says, don't worry about all this stuff, I'm very hungry, give me something to eat. And Draupadi says, that's the problem. I cannot give you anything to eat because I have eaten for the day. And Akshapatra is empty now. It cannot produce food, and Durvasa is there with his 10,000 disciples. And he is going to curse us. We are already suffering. And Krishna said, oh, don't worry. Bring the plate, bring the plate, bring the utensil. And we know the pastime where Krishna finds little grain there and he eats. And Krishna is saying, when Lord Hari eats and when Lord Hari is satisfied, the whole world is satisfied. But they are all still panicking. Now Krishna tells Sahadev, you go and call Durvasamuni. Krishna is telling Sahadev, you go and call Durvasamuni with all his disciples. Yudhishthira and all brothers are looking at each other. That how and why? Now, this is the reason we called you for. But their devotion to Krishna was so simple and so connected they were that they didn't even question Krishna. There was no concept of even doubting him. So much dependency they had. Rather, actually later Yudhishthira Maharaj was thanking Draupadi for her presence of mind in calling out to Krishna in need. Actually, when you read characters of Mahabharata, to the extent Draupadi has shown her devotion is just far out in many occasions. In many occasions, many people just talk about Krishna and Yudhishthira's devotion, but Draupadi has shown amazing devotion, devotional attitude. And then Sahadev goes to Durvasamuni and he goes there to call out, but before he reaches there, Durvasamuni is thinking, we are so full, we cannot come. And exact thing, the whole Krishna flips away the whole situation, that Pandavas were worried that Durvasa will curse. When Durvasamuni starts feeling full and all his disciples are very full, Durvasa is now worried that if we don't eat, Yudhishthira will curse. This is what Krishna did. Just by a simple devotion of Pandavas, especially Draupadi at that moment, and by offering that little grain to Krishna, Krishna changed the whole situation. Then now Durvasa with all his 10,000 disciples is so worried that Yudhishthira is also an ascetic. He is also a very powerful king. Now what if he curses us? He has cooked for 10,000 of us, and if we don't go there, Yudhishthira will curse. He is a very powerful, he is a devotee of Lord Hari. We don't want his curse, let's go away from him. So Krishna amazingly changed the whole situation. So, we see in pastime of Vidura, his wife offering peels to Krishna. These are very known pastimes, but very instructive pastimes that we don't have to do big ceremonies, sacrifices, great learnings. Nothing is required actually to please the Supreme Lord. Krishna is eating banana peel instead of banana itself after he left the whole feast which Duryodhana was offering. So very amazing pastime. Another very interesting pastime from Ramayana comes in mind, how a very simple hearted devotee practically controls the Supreme Lord, controls Lord Ram, and he forces Lord Ram to act the way he wants. And that's the story of the boatman Kevat. When Lord Ram with Lakshman and Sita are also on exile, and they are on the banks of the river, and they want to pass across that river. And before Lord Ram reaches there, when Lord Ram and Lakshman, when they were in their youth, they were taken away by their guru Vishwamitra. This is much before Lord Ram married Sita and then they were sent on exile. Lord Ram, while going with their gurus, they were passing through the forest, and Lord Ram saw a shila, a stone in the shape of a woman. And Lord Ram questioned that what in this isolated ashram this shila, this stone is doing, woman shaped stone. And Vishwamitra explained in the story of Ahilya, who was cursed by her husband Gautam Rishi because she indulged and united with Indra. That's a whole story, we won't get into that. So Vishwamitra asked Lord Ram that you touch your feet to this stone. And Lord Ram said, no, I cannot. She is Brahmani. She is wife of a Brahmana and I am a Kshatriya. I cannot touch my feet to on her head. And Vishwamitra said, no, that's okay. I am instructing you as a guru, you do it. And Lord Ram said, okay, as an instruction of a guru, I will do it. But he was feeling very bad because as a Kshatriya, he is touching his feet to a Brahmani's wife, head. Lord Ram touches, she turns out to be Ahilya, one of the most beautiful women with all attractive features. She offers her prayers to Lord Ram and she goes back to where her husband was, Gautam Rishi, who is a Sapta Rishi. Now this news has spread around that Lord Ram is very powerful. He can, just by touch of his feet, he can make a stone into a woman. So now, when later he gets married, he is sent on exile, now he is on the bank of river. Now this Kevat, this boatman, has also heard this news. And with his very simple heart, he wants to utilize this situation to get mercy of Lord Ram. So when Lord Ram asks him, can you take me across the river? He says, no, I cannot. I will not take it. And Lord Ram is surprised. Why is he saying no so bluntly? He said, you go that side of the river, water is knee deep, it's shallow, you just walk through. Lord Ram said, no, I am with Sita, can you take us across the river? He said, no, I will not take you across the river. I have heard that if you touch something, if something touches your dust of your lotus feet, that turns into a woman, and that too a Brahmani, a woman, wife of a Brahmana. And he said, my only possession is this boat. And as soon as you touch this boat, it will turn into wife of a Brahmana. And the dust of your feet, as soon as it touches my boat, it will turn into wife of a Brahmana. And I am a boatman, I get my living from boat. What will I do with the wife of a Brahmana? That too, wife of a Brahmana. This is of no use to me. He is giving his argument. So Lord Ram says, no, that will not happen. He said, no, everyone has heard. If you touch some, if your dust of your lotus feet touches anything, that will turn into a woman. So Lord Ram says, okay, what do you want to do? He said, I want to wash your feet and remove the dust of your feet first. And then only I will allow you to sit on my boat and take you across. And Lakshman is getting upset, but Lakshman understands his heart. And then he washes Lord Ram's feet nicely. He took his time, he washes. He says, oh, now I'm satisfied, I've removed all the dust. He's telling Lord Ram, the problem is not with your feet, the problem is the dust of your feet. So I need to remove it. And then he drinks the water, sprinkles on his family, and Lord Ram sits in the boat and he's taking across. Now when they're reaching across the river, Lord Ram sees Mother Sita and she understands his heart. That he wants to give something to the boatman as a price of taking him across. But they are in the forest, they are on exile, they have nothing. So Mother Sita, what she does is she has a ring. She got some jewelry with her. She has a ring and she wants to offer that to the boatman. And boatman refuses. He's a pakka devotee, like proper devotee. And he refuses. I don't want this. The Lord Ram says, no. It is a proper etiquette that I have taken service from you and I have to pay you something. I don't have any money, so I am just giving you this ring. He said, no. If you want to offer me some payment, you promise me when you come back this way, you again use my boat and that time I will take it. So you again sit in my boat while coming back. So Lord Ram was so much attracted by this simple-hearted boatman that he confirmed, okay, while coming back I will again come through your boat. Then Lord Ram gave him a hug and this boatman was in tears and Lord Ram left. And actually he did, when on Pushpak Viman, on that flying airplane which Ravana had after he rescued Mother Sita, Lord Ram did stop and met this boatman again to keep his promise. And what else you need? If Supreme Lord hugs you, meets you, just because we have some devotion for him. And another very classic example of very simple hearted devotion is Hanumanji. And there are innumerable examples or incidents where he has shown his devotion. But on this particular example, which is just purely talking about his innocence, his simplicity and his devotion. That's why I picked this pastime, which actually attracts the Lord, which actually makes a devotee also a great devotee. Not the big things which a devotee can do, but his simple devotion to the Supreme Lord is very attractive. So when Lord Ram was back after rescuing Mother Sita, he is ruling as a king. One very rich merchant from Ayodhya, I think it was a jeweler, he got a very, very precious necklace made of choicest of pearls in and offered it to Lord Ram. Now Hanumanji was in the assembly and Lord Ram also wanted to show the glories of Hanuman to everyone. So Lord Ram gave that necklace to Hanumanji in front of that merchant itself. And no one questioned, because Lord Ram can do anything he wants to as long as he has accepted the offering, so he gave the offering. So Hanumanji also took the offering and then the whole assembly was continuing. And everyone started noticing that the pearls are being broken and thrown on the floor. And Hanuman is biting them, breaking them and throwing on the floor. Biting them, breaking them and throwing on the floor. Everyone was quiet. But this person who has got this precious gift, he could not control himself. And he started telling off Hanumanji, "You are a monkey only. You don't understand the value of this commodity. It is so expensive, one of the best pearls available. And you are just cracking them and throwing. What are you doing, you monkey?" And Hanumanji said, "Pearls? Valuable? Oh, okay. I was checking its value by cracking open and seeing it, if Sita Ram are there inside the pearls. Then only it has value." And that merchant started laughing, some other people started laughing. But Lord Ram was smiling because he knew what Hanumanji is talking about. And this merchant challenged that, "You are cracking opening and wasting the pearl which I have got, trying to find Sita Ram inside the pearl, and then only it has value. You think it has no value other than that? What about you as a person? Is Sita Ram inside you?" And Hanumanji said, "Yes, I have Sita Ram inside me and I am very sure about it." So the merchant just challenged Hanuman, "Okay, open yourself up, tear open yourself up in public and show if Sita Ram is inside you." And Hanumanji is so simple and so much devotion he has for Lord Ram that he said, "Okay, I accept the challenge. I know I have Sita Ram inside me." And with his very sharp nails, he started tearing apart his chest. He started opening his chest and he tore himself completely in public. And everybody got darshan of Sita and Ram inside Hanumanji. And that's what Lord Ram was showing, that how great a devotee he is. And we don't hear, even though Hanumanji has done one of the most powerful feats, one of the most powerful, physically most powerful services to Lord Ram, that was not the reason he attracted Lord Ram. The reason he attracted Lord Ram was his pure devotional service unto him. So, you know, the other day, I was watching this news and I was shocked to see places like Kerala or some other southern parts of India. I saw a father, a bishop of a church, dressed in saffron with tilak and has cross in his neck, and he is managing a missionary church. And so many people are coming in this church, and there is aarti to Jesus, proper aarti with bell ringing and all, which doesn't happen in a normal church. And because they are very intelligently worked out that Indians are attached to rituals only, or those who are trying to, who are a little bit religious, who are following Vedas or Hinduism, they are attracted to rituals only. And because they are attracted to externals, you can catch them by externals only. And it's a trick. And what externals we want? We want to see a sadhana happening. We want to see some bell ringing, some rituals happening, some puja happening. But no one is interested in the object of the ritual. No one has the knowledge of the object of the ritual. What to speak of having loving devotion for the object, for the person who is behind the ritual or for whom rituals are offered. That people are not interested, and everyone is interested in externals. So they cash on the externals, and people are very easily converted or completely persuaded to follow or practice some completely something else which they are supposed to follow. And on the contrary, when we hear these pastimes or verses like this, which is completely rejecting the external sacrifices, practically if you see the verse 7, the priest is saying there is no need for so many arrangements to worship the Lord. What was required was to have some knowledge about the person whom you are worshipping and some devotion to the person whom you are worshipping. If just this one thing would have kept intact in Vedic culture, just this one aspect, than the externals, it would have been a big difference. You know, the approach towards religion or spirituality would have been very, very different. And this is exactly why I was talking about the devotee who was very worried about all the pressures he and his family are facing or may face in future. It again comes to very much towards the externals which are bothering, that externals will decide how great devotee you are. People are not, he's not worried, his worry is not that whether my child will develop devotion to the Lord or not. He's worrying what will happen if my child doesn't become a scholar in memorizing verses. So even though we know, we hear philosophy, we are so much hearing and associating with devotees, these competitive aspects or these external ritualistic aspects we are carrying with us. And verses like this actually help us cut through that and go a little deeper to the actual purpose or reason behind these rituals or these sacrifices. So I thought I'll just discuss these simple points only from today's verse, and that's what exactly the purport and the verse are talking about. Tomorrow also similar theme is there, but Gopal Mishra can elaborate more as he is who can do more justice to the subject matter. So I'll stop there and see if there are any questions or comments on what we discussed. Krantashya Bhagatam ki jaya, Prabhupada ki jaya,
Prabhupada ki jaya, Prabhupada ki jaya.